The KISS principle. Keep things simple, stupid. And feel safe that everybody here has heard this and knows what it is. If not, just think about the letters and put them together with the four words. Keep things simple, stupid. For this message, I'm going to actually remove the stupid part, but it does make an emphasis on how important it is. And this is something that's been used in business and design, in planning, breaking habits, smoking for one, breaking smoking habit, selling, etc. Many things throughout your life. It's been used as a way to explain things. Telling myself one time, a few years after I went to work where I am now, Janie asked me, "What do you do?" Being as I tend to be, I started telling her in a little more detail than she wanted. She listened for about 2 minutes and then looked at me and said, "I want to know what time it is, not how the clock works." I said, "Okay, point taken." I basically told her I help computers talk to each other, help make them talk to each other. But the point was taken. Sometimes you can bit too much detail on things. Keep things simple. One thing I have not heard with the KISS principle is relating it to religion and the Bible. Now, maybe it has, but I don't ever recall hearing that principle placed with the things in the Bible. And in this sermonette, that's what it is. I mean, to me, that's one of the best places you can apply the KISS principle is with the Bible. Being a Christian and doing what we're instructed to do is really pretty simple. You can get into some details and make it tougher, but it's really pretty simple. Most Christians will tell you all you have to do is believe, and that's good enough. You can't get much simpler than that. We know there's a little more to there. You actually have to do and follow what are instructions in here and don't do the things it says not to do, but that's still pretty simple. Do what you're told to do. How much simpler can you get? Well, going back to my explanation of what I did with Janie, sometimes we try to make things more complicated than they need to be. Keeping the Sabbath. We explain this to somebody at times, and sometimes we may start trying to explain how and when it changed and how that wasn't right and all those things. But we, irregardless of that, I mean, they're asking about the Sabbath. You shall keep the Sabbath. A little more than that, a little bit, but just simple. You are to keep the Sabbath. You can get into any details about people thinking they've changed it later. Keep it simple. There's been books written on it. That simple of a topic, and there has been books written. Now, I'm not talking about pamphlets, but full, 200-300-600-page books. Clean and unclean meats. Eat this, don't eat, or you can eat this, don't eat that. Pretty simple. But sometimes we get lost in explaining, well, if you eat it, this is going to happen. Yeah, and we all sometimes come up with different things because the Bible doesn't actually say what's going to happen if you eat it. I think it's one of the leading causes of cancer and arthritis and things like that. But you can eat this. Don't eat that. The Bible says it's a sin if you do it, and we know what's going to happen if you sin. But after that, some of it's speculation. Keep it simple. Why do I say keep it simple? For some really good examples, let's go over to the Ten Commandments. Basically the cores of what we believe in everything, over in Exodus 20, starting in verse 3. I'm pretty sure it's also somewhere else, but that's where I have my Bible marked, so that's where we're turning. Keeping it simple. The first one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How much simpler can you get? Don't need to make it complicated. Well, you can have this kind of God, or you can have this God, or in this situation you can have one. No, you shall have no other gods. 2, thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven, or anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not make any graven images. Plain and simple. And he says, there's a lot of people try to make some exception to this, and you know, we don't have pictures of what Christ is thought to look at and things like that because of this. They'll make exceptions. Well, you know, it's in the church. This is our Savior and stuff, and come up with all sorts of things. But you shall not do it. Really simple. 3, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Don't do it. It doesn't say if you've just kicked your toe into something or you've hit your thumb with the hammer at that moment as you're hurting, you can holler out something that you shouldn't normally holler out to get past the pain. It says don't do it. You shall not do that. 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. To keep the Sabbath day. Now, I like this one because one point in there is it does not say remember a Sabbath day. It says remember the Sabbath day. So you, if in remembering the Sabbath, you can't remember it on Sunday or Friday or Wednesday. I mean, you can go to church on those days in addition to it. I mean, you could go to church every day of the week. But you have to remember the Sabbath day on the Sabbath. With inside the Sabbath is the seventh day. 5. Honor thy father and thy mother. And it, you know, goes on, it tells you days to be long. But honor your father and mother. It does not say honor them unless you don't like what they're telling you. It says you honor them all the time. The second thing with that, I mean, when you initially look at these, you think, okay, kids are supposed to honor their father and their mother. And that's absolutely true. But that it doesn't stop there. It's not just, and I use, you know, in this family, it's not just James honoring me and Janie. It's me and Janie honoring our parents and them honoring their parents and so on and so forth. There is no age limit when you no longer have to subscribe to honoring your parents. You have to do it your entire life. Keep it simple. Do it. Thou shalt not kill. Straightforward enough. Thou shalt not bear false witness against the neighbor. Shall not. And I skipped one, didn't I? Yeah. We'll go back and pick them up. Thou shalt not. Okay, I'll go back and see. I was on 6. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Yeah, we want to get that one. Doesn't say if your wife is not living up to her part of the bargain and your husband's not living up to his part of the bargain, you can go out and commit adultery. It says, do not do it. And for some people, I mean, it's not in here, there's not, but just going out for people that would say, well, that really isn't adultery, what I did. If you look at the definitions of adultery, there's 2 little bit distinct but interlinking definitions. One was extramarital sex, plain and simple. The other one was voluntary sexual intercourse between a man and someone other than his wife, or between a married woman and someone other than her husband. Now, these 2 really go together. Now, someone might say, well, 2 single people that are not, they're not married to each other, not married to anyone else, 2 single people could have sex and not break this. I would say, yeah, you're right. But you go to the rest of it and it tells you not to do that. Pick that up later. So, very simple. You just, 2 people, not supposed to commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. It's fairly simple. You don't take something that somebody else is. It's wrong. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And it's not just your neighbor next door. If you look that up, this your neighbor is a lot more generic. Like basically anyone you would know becomes your neighbor at that time. You shall not lie against your neighbor, or for them for that matter. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thy wife. Again, it goes on basically. You just not covet anything of your neighbor's. Now, all those are pretty simple. Now, what covet doesn't say, and I've heard people say you shouldn't do this. It doesn't say that. If your neighbor has something you want, your neighbor has a nice car, or they just put in a pool, which Annie would like, or something like that. They've got something that you like. There's nothing wrong with seeing that and saying, you know, hey, I like that. I want that. Just seeing something and wanting something is not coveting. Coveting is continuing going on and on about it. And kind of like harping on something or keeping that in your mind all the time. If you want it and you can afford it, buy it. That's not coveting. But if you can't afford it, at least not then, but you keep on wanting it over and over again, that's coveting. You don't do that. If we live by those and we keep them simple, we don't worry about getting into the little minutiae about, oh, well, this really means that, it doesn't mean this, etc. They mean what they say. If we keep them simple, they're easy to understand and they're easy to explain to other people. The Ten Commandments are the basic and simple instructions to keep, not only for Christians, but all mankind. Throughout the Bible, we find instructions on what to do and what not to do. If we stick to those things and keep it simple, the Bible is easy to understand and easy to share. Are there things that can be confusing? Yes and no, depending on how you look at it. An example is parables. Parables can seem to be confusing on the surface. But we must remember that the key is that everyone is not supposed to understand them. Turn over to Matthew 13, 10 through 11. And the disciples came, said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. To you it is given, to them it's not. If it's given to you, you understand them simple. They are simple. It's like cake. It's easy to eat cake. It's soft. Just get your fork out and eat and enjoy it. If it wasn't given to that person to understand them, it is really confusing. But as long as we remember, it's not given to everybody to understand them, and we keep that simple understanding, parables are easy to understand. The thought I had when I was going through this, looking at that, was getting down to the detailed facts between a couple of people that already understand the truth may be okay. However, trying to explain something that way to a new person that doesn't already understand the basics is going to be confusing. Explaining details to somebody that doesn't understand the basics will just confuse them. It'd be like when I was explaining to Janie what I did. They're going to look at you for about a minute or two, and then you have lost them because you're not keeping it simple. They may continue to look at you, but at best, at that point, it's going one ear and out the other. Chances are it's hitting the ear and bouncing off somewhere else and going nowhere. Worst case, or sometimes base case scenario, they turn around and leave. At least if they turn around and leave, you know they're no longer listening, and you end up shutting up. But if you keep it simple, it's easy to explain things. The holy days, Passover, you ought to keep it. Okay, now there it can be kind of confusing in one simple way. There, you know, you could take just this group here, and we kind of split down the middle on whether you start at this point in time or this point in time. But this is where you get into the details. The simple thing is you keep the Passover, and you keep the days of unleavened bread, and you keep all the holy days. You just have to remember, keep it simple. This is what you do, this is what you don't do. Are there places where there is a little bit of leeway in there? Yeah, occasionally. Because the Bible doesn't spell out every single little detail. God didn't think we had to know all the little details. He said, do this. Don't do that. So do this and don't do that. What is confusing? Man is confusing. Man tends to make things more difficult. A couple examples, our laws. Our founders wrote the Constitution and gave us our initial laws. And they were pretty easy to understand if you looked at them in a simple way. From that point on, other congresses and legislation started adding and redefining and putting more laws in. And every time they do, it gets more and more difficult. Man made the things difficult. Took something simple and made it difficult. Food we can eat. God says, eat this, don't eat that. Real simple. Man says, well, you can eat this if, for example, they were raised right and taken care of right. They were fed right, they were inspected, and they weren't harmed as they were being killed. Their feelings didn't get hurt, except you name it. You know, that's man's definitions. That's not really very simple. God says, eat this, don't eat that. You kill it, you raise it, you kill it, you let it bleed, you cook it. He keeps things simple. Man does. And then we get to pork. You know, God just says no. What does man say? Well, shoot, that's even worse because it depends on who you're talking to. Some men will say, as long as you cook it to like 165 degrees or something like that, it doesn't matter. It's okay. Some will say as long as you don't eat too much of it. You can't. If you eat it every day, it's going to be bad for you. But if you eat it like once a week or a couple times a month or something like that, it's not a problem. Some will say, well, as long as you prepare it in such a way, then it's okay. That's getting really too difficult. You keep things simple. And kind of make it worse or even yuckier. I heard this morning. Now, if you had a cow with E. coli, what would God say? Could you eat it or not? He would say no. Apparently, if what I heard is right, the government doesn't say no. You can. A cow that has E. coli, known to have E. coli, the meat from that cow can be served. It has to be pre-cooked to a certain degree, and then it can be sold. Doesn't sound very good. But if it's been pre-cooked to the temperature that supposedly will kill it, then it's deemed okay. Seems like God's way of don't eat that, it's no good, is much better and much simpler. Marriage. God said one man, one woman. Simple. People now want to define it. Oh, well, maybe we can get two men and two women or something like that. All sorts of different ways. God's way is always better. And just keep things simple. Man's directions versus God's directions. If I want to get home, I have to go out here and go across 220, turn left, go down for about 20 minutes. By halfway down, I have to slow down for 45 for a little bit. Get off, turn to the right, go down about 5 minutes, turn left onto 87. Then it merges onto 14, and then keep going for about 20 minutes, then get on 29 for one exit, and get off back on 87, and take that almost all the way home. That's not the most simple directions in the world. What's God's directions to how to get home? Matthew 7, 14. Matthew chapter 7, I wrote down 7, yeah. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there and few there be that find it. Straight is the way. God's directions to the front door, go out here, follow the Bible, and go straight, and you get there every time. Keep things simple. In conclusion, if the explanation, either from you or to you, is confusing, then maybe we're relying too much on man's directions and man's instructions than God's. I would submit to you that where is the KISS method needed more than when following and explaining and witnessing the Bible? Nowhere. I don't think anywhere. So the last words I'll leave you with is, remember, keep things simple.